In order to become godly men, young boys need to be shown what it takes. That's why Men of Honor exists. It's a privilege to teach boys aged 7 to 17 the necessary life skills they'll use the rest of their lives. From 5:30 to 7:30 every Tuesday night from June 3rd to the 24th at the AFA campus, they'll learn basic craftsmanship, yard maintenance, and much more. It's free, and that even includes the food. Find out more about Men of Honor today at afa.net/events.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, May the 6th, 2025, live radio show here. And Ed Battagliano joins me. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning. I'm mostly alive.
You're mostly alive?
Yeah, sir.
So how do you gauge that exactly?
It depends how well I sleep the night before.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So how many fingers am I holding up?
Three fingers. Well, yeah. I stayed up a little later than I should have watching some hockey last night. And then I got up early this morning. And so I'm kind of cruising on like 5.5 hours, 6 hours of sleep.
So you're not responsible for what you say.
I'm responsible. I just hope I can remain responsive.
All right, Chris. Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning. I watched baseball.
All right.
You watched baseball.
I did.
And Ray Pritchard, what'd you watch, Ray?
You know, did I? Okay, we were watching some, I don't know, some reruns of some show last night. There's basketball, right? Aren't we in the playoffs?
Yes.
The NBA playoffs, yeah. Big game. I haven't seen, I don't think I've watched a minute of the NBA this year, but I know that there was some big game last night between the Knicks.
Well, the Knicks beat the Celtics in game one of the series.
Wasn't that a – what didn't they come from behind?
Watching hockey.
Yeah, they did, like 20 points behind.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's the thing about it is the NBA, they play 7 months to eliminate four teams in the playoffs.
Pretty close. I looked it up one time and did the math because Major League Baseball gets the knock because, oh, the season's just so long. It's 162 games. And I looked it up and did the math, and the NBA season is actually longer than Major League Baseball, due in part to Major League Baseball wrapping up its postseason in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And in the NBA, like the playoffs start in April, and it might be almost July by the time you have the
finals.
Same
thing with hockey now too. Hockey and basketball play the same number of games, 82 games, and their playoffs both start in April and end sometime in June. Sometimes late June.
All right. All right. Well, again, thanks for listening to the program, everybody. Ray, give us a good word from the Bible this morning.
Okay. Of the questions people ask pastors, the number one question, I think, of Christians, church members, is always some variation of, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I know God's will for my life? I did a personal survey once of all the questions that people asked me over a 6-month period when I was in the pastorate in Chicago. And there were hundreds of questions and comments, but 90% of them, as I looked at it, were some variation of, how can I know what God wants me to do? Well, I ended up writing a couple of books about that. Don't buy my books, folks, because I'm going to tell you the bottom line right here. Skip all that. I'm just going to tell you the bottom line right here. You don't need to read the book. Just take this one verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's Psalm 119, 105. Know these two things, and you will be able to do God's will for your life. Number one, God's will comes from God's word. If you want to know God's will for your life, read the Bible. The Bible is a book of God's will. It'll tell you who God is. It'll tell you what God commands. It'll tell you what God forbids. It'll give you clear guidance for the decisions you face. So number one, get yourself into the Word of God. And the more you're into the Word of God, let me rephrase that. The more the Word of God is into you, the more the Bible becomes a part of your life, the clearer it will become what God's will for you is. And the second thing is this, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the picture of a man going in the deepest of darkness, in a dangerous forest, and there's a path that leads him to safety, but it's dark and he can't see. But as long as he has a lamp in his hands, the light shines and he can move forward. But ask yourself a question. If it's really dark and you got a lamp, how many steps before you can you see? You can see usually one step. Step into the light God gives you, and the light moves forward. What is God's will for you today? God's will for you today is to get up and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, and to serve him with great joy. Take the next step that God puts. And you know, Ed, what our problem is, I don't want to know the next step. I want to know five steps down the road.
That's right.
I want to know what's coming around the curve in the path, right?
So you can prepare yourself for it. I remember a preacher saying one time when you were talking about taking a step, you need to be walking. As he said, it's easier to steer a moving car. And I always remember that. That goes back from the early 80s. So you don't want to keep your car in park. You want to be active for God with the word in your heart. And then God will tell you what the next step is. And sometimes it's a surprise, right? Sometimes it's unexpected, you know, what God asks you to do. And sometimes it goes right along with your gifts and your calling. And it seems to make sense, but, I like that. The word will help you know the will of God.
Look, get in the word and then get up every day and take the next step that God puts in front of you. Because you know what, Ed? There's always a next step in front of us. Our problem is sometimes we don't want to take it, right?
Yeah.
We want some kind of guarantee. Get in the word and take the next step. If you're in the word and you're taking the next step in front of you, God will lead you from where you are to where he wants you to
Amen.
Be. That is the most important thing I know That's about good. Knowing and doing the will of God.
That is good preaching. Thank you for that. Now, is that something that folks can find on Keep Believing, your website? Tell folks about your website.
Absolutely. I've got a whole sermon on this called How to Know the Will of God. If you come to keepbelieving.com, you know, just come to Keep Believing. Find that little search bar there and just type in God's will. You'll get a ton of stuff.
Read your book on that. You have like in PDF form, isn't it?
Well, we've got it in PDF form. You can also, it's in print version from Crossway called Discovering God's Will for Your Life. And then we've got a little booklet, which may be the one you said, called Five Keys to Discovering God's Will. And that's available free from keepbelieving.com.
There you go, folks. Check that Amen. Out.
Amen. Well, Chris, is America living up to God's will?
No. And that's we
need to do some repenting, don't we?
We do. And also, it would be good if people got, you know, the swift kick in the pants they need in churches and not bullet points on seven ways on how to have a great week or all that other stuff. There's a culmination
of
reasons.
You went right for the heart of the issue.
Yes. There is a reason why we have problems. And we do need to, as Ray recommended, get in the Word. The Word encourages me because oftentimes I have to deal with bad things and bring them in. This one's not so
terrible. They're life choices we make, Chris. You can deal with happy things or you can deal with sad things.
Very true.
Well, he is a newsman.
Yeah.
So he's going to be limited on the number of
things.
He
sees the dark side of mankind on a regular basis.
I'm going to get Brent to record me going, now it's time for doom and gloom. And, you know, we'll
All
bring
right,
it
Chris,
in.
What's our doom and gloom?
All right.
To lead off with.
Well, this one's not so terrible, but it is something that has upset some people, including Trump voters. The Trump administration is offering to pay $1,000 to illegal immigrants to return home voluntarily. In other words, illegal immigrants are being offered $1,000 U.S. to self-deport. Some people are not happy with this due to the large number of illegal immigrants in this country. But in a soundbite we can play here, we've got DHS Secretary Kristi Noem saying this is actually saving us money. Clip 2.
We spend about $17,000 arresting, detaining, and deporting an illegal alien right now today. If we have the opportunity to purchase a plane ticket and send someone home with a stipend like this, it saves us thousands and thousands of dollars. And it also is a much safer situation for officers and for those in communities.
All right, so where have we heard this idea before? I think we heard it from me.
I'm Ed. Brother Ed.
I've been saying this for several years. Of course, President Joe Biden didn't listen. And I'm sure the...
No, he paid him to come in.
Yes, that's right.
Everybody who can come across the border, we give you $1,000 in free medical insurance.
Free medical care. We'll educate your kids.
Right, right. Y'all come.
Gift card to your local fast food place. No, I always thought this was a great idea. Now, obviously, the Trump administration wasn't listening to me. But this is a great idea because once you make it clear that that border is going to be shut down and that ICE is coming for you, all right, then what you do is you offer people this a stipend. I think that's the way she described it. And many will self-deport because they realize we're going to get caught anyway. And we're going to get sent home with nothing. This way, maybe you have two or three people, four people in your family, and you go back to a country like El Salvador or Venezuela with $3,000 or $4,000 in your pocket, so to speak,
or and you get robbed.
To it. Yeah, maybe they can have a bank draft or something. I don't know, but anyway, that is going to be, I think, the best way to do it. And then for those who stubbornly want to stay, ICE will find you. Anyway, I'm just glad I could help.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I could
$1,000, I don't think that's going to make much difference, but the offer is there.
Oh, the negativity. Yeah. The negativity, man. Well, right. Actually, I suggested more. But
so you think an illegal person is going to read a news flash and say, hey, huh? Hey, get the kids together. We're going back to Guatemala.
Well,
we're going to get $1,000 a person.
Look at it this way, though. If you think you're going back anyway, and you can get that money safely to Guatemala.
I know, but
that money will go pretty far in Guatemala.
That's very true.
Buy a herd of goats.
Anyway, what's your next story, Chris?
All right.
Wait, Ray had a comment.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I just wanted to ask a question. So is this $1,000 a family or $1,000 a person?
I believe it's $1,000 a person. I'm going to double check because
we do have
it on our website.
So if you've got some huge family.
There you go.
Eight or nine, 10. Ed, that's a pretty good piece of change.
Sure. When you go into a country that's not very developed.
Yeah. Yes.
The department said it has already paid for a plane ticket for one migrant to return home to Honduras from Chicago and said more tickets have been booked for this weekend next. So some people are taking Ed up on his idea.
Okay, Debbie Downer, what are you going to say about that?
I think it's a gimmick.
Anyway. It is a gimmick.
Well, yes, it's a gimmick, yes.
Well, I mean, $1,000, whether or not it's to one person or per family, that is a drop in the bucket compared to what
$5,000, they'll start. You might start get something signed
I mean, like
up.
Biden was putting them up in five-star hotels in Manhattan.
For $5,000, Tim, I'll self-deport.
Bada boom.
Boom. I'm out of here. Yeah. $5,000 and I am gone.
Mic drop, Fred. Yeah. For $5,000, I'll self-deport.
I will go back to Wales where my people came from.
All right.
All right. So the other story relates to illegal immigration, and I can do this in a couple of ways. CNN is being ridiculed, mocked, hammered.
That's disappointing.
On social media because one of their reporters, through the help of a translator, did ask a Mexican drug cartel member how he felt about Donald Trump calling him and other cartel members terrorists. And I can play this audio. It will have a man speaking Spanish, to which we can come out of it, and I will translate what he said, because I've got the transcript here.
Wow, I didn't know you could do that.
See. Okay.
So what's the point in hearing it?
Well, okay. Point taken.
Fist bump right there, man. That was good.
So I'm going to play the soundbite because it does begin. It's 19 seconds. It's going to begin with the CNN reporter speaking in English and phrasing the question, to which you'll get his answer in Spanish, and I'll come out and say what he had to say. Clip three.
I mean, according to the Trump administration, you are a terrorist. I mean, the cartels have been labeled a foreign terrorist organization. What do you make of that?
está fea la situación, ¿verdad? Está fea la situación, pero pues todos tenemos que comer.
What's your message to Donald Trump if he's watching this?
Mi respeto, él tiene que.
You got did Darth Vader invade our country?
Yeah.
Is that what happened
here? He was definitely illegal.
You got to be shipping him off?
That was a live report.
Where did we send Darth Vader?
Right. Yet? All right, so she asked
you
him.
You have failed me for the last time, Amanda.
I found your lack of faith disturbing. All right, so she said, what do you make of the situation? And he said in Spanish, well, the situation is ugly, but we have to eat. And she said, well, what's your message to Trump? He says, my message with respect to the president, according to him, he's looking out for his people. But the problem is the consumers are in the United States. If there weren't any consumers, we would stop. In other words, the people are buying our product. We're a business.
Yeah, okay. So is that all he said?
That's all. Yeah, we ended up bringing it down because the rest of it was in a language most people don't know, and that's fine. But I do have some audio here from Caroline Leavitt responding to the fact that CNN would sympathize and ask questions to a Mexican drug cartel member. Clip 4.
Well, it was fascinating to me, Sean. I was actually scrolling on Instagram when I came across this interview, and it stopped me in my tracks, not just because they sat down with a member of a Mexican cartel that is now designated as a foreign terrorist organization by the United States government, but because of the nature of the questions of this notorious foreign terrorist. It was a softball interview giving a platform to a notorious drug cartel that has killed American citizens. I thought it was quite despicable. But again, this is just another reason why the trust in the legacy media is at an all-time low amongst the American public.
Listen, I understand the idea that the drug cartel kingpin, whoever he was saying in terms of the customers in the United States. But it's not like Americans started off by pounding on the door of drug cartel members who were, you know, going to their shift at the local factory and demanded from them drugs. Mm. They were getting people hooked on drugs. And so there is blame on the cartel side and the drug dealer's side. This is, how many episodes of Cops do you need to see? I mean, they offer drugs to kids to get them hooked, and then they have permanent customers. So, yes, people are buying drugs here, but it's not like the cartels are blameless in this. And in any case, the only way to stop it is to try to cut it off at the source. And I agree with what the president does in designating these cartels as terrorists, because they don't care how many Americans die. And so the fact that CNN interviewed to get their perspective is ludicrous.
Yeah. It really shows you kind of the mindset behind CNN, especially, and MSNBC. It gets to a bigger problem in our country and really the world. Nothing you do is ever your fault. It's always something else. There's no, self accountability.
Ray, this bottom line, it's, human beings are infected with the sin virus, and that kind of spreads to the community, and there are dealers and there are purchasers, and there's all kinds of things wrong, but government has the responsibility, according to Romans 13, to punish evil doing and to uphold what is good. And I think that's what President Trump is trying to do here.
Well, it is a problem of supply and demand. And as you said, the problem is inside the human heart, right? And there's reasons people in situations turn to drugs, but that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about the drug dealers who've turned this into a multi-billion dollar industry and are doing everything they can, not just to sell to people who want it, but to entrap young kids, teenagers, in a lifestyle of drugs, because when they trap them that way, they have them forever. It is a corrupting enterprise, and God bless Donald Trump for doing anything he can do and everything he can do to crack down on the drug dealers.
They used to call them drug pushers when I was growing up.
That's a better phrase.
Yeah, it's a better phrase. They were always encouraging people. Like this drug dealer, if Americans stop buying, he's going to go get a shift at the local Chipotle. I mean, come on. They are going to try to make sure that that lucrative business that preys upon the weaknesses of human beings, like they're not going to try to increase their sales. It's a corrupt business like any other business. It has a model, and that model includes getting new customers and keeping old ones.
Look, the drug trafficking and the prostitution and the sex trafficking, it all goes together.
Right.
It is wicked. And, you know, I hear people throw around the phrase from the pit of hell, sometimes a little casually. If you want to find an industry that is truly born from the pit of hell, it is the illegal drug industry and the drug pushers.
Yes.
Let's do whatever it takes to get them out of this country to protect our children and the most vulnerable people among us.
Let me just toss this other thing in there, because this really fries me. Okay. These drug
fries and drugs.
I don't know if that's a good mix. Okay.
This really frosts me. How's that?
That's better.
These drug cartels, they kill cops.
Yeah.
They cut people's heads off. Yeah. They terrorize communities. They bribe judges and officials in Mexico and anywhere they can. When they take over apartment buildings in Aurora, Colorado, they terrorize people. So this guy makes it seem like, listen, if y'all just stop buying, we will gladly stop selling.
Right.
These are criminal enterprises. They don't care about the consequences. They don't care who dies. And they don't care who stands in their way. And that's why the president's called them terrorists.
So in case anybody wonders about where we stand, we hate these people.
Right.
We hate what they do. We hate the evil.
I hope they get saved. That could happen. I don't want them to die in their sins. But
right.
If anybody's ever seen a family affected by drug addiction,
right?
Yeah,
your heart breaks and you just see the pain that it causes. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it ends in tragedy, you know.
Yeah.
It's something we need to work on from both sides, the people who are buying the drugs and some of them addicts, a lot of them addicts, and then the people that are selling it inside the country.
By the way, I do want to make sure our listeners understand, I think our country is going to have to take time and money and make available to people the help they need if they're addicted. I am not callous towards their suffering. A lot of times when these people become addicts, they need help, and our country's going to have to help them, even though it's their fault for getting addicted. So I don't want anyone to think that the kind of harsh words towards the suppliers indicates that. Listen, like I said, I hope these drug dealers all come to Jesus, and good people need Jesus just as much as bad people. We all need Jesus. So I don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm saying. But for CNN to air this, that just goes to further demonstrate the absolute corruption of the mainstream news media to even entertain an interview with someone like that and then to air it is painful to listen to.
All right, let's go ahead and take our break right here.
Sermon time's over.
When we get back, well, it's a good one. We get back, we got more happy.
More bad news.
More happy.
I do have some happy things. So
good. You got some happy news?
I'm happy to hear that.
All right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times, her first response is to seek out an abortion. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a Preborn Network clinic. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life and doubles a baby's chance at life, which is why Preborn saw over 67,000 babies rescued last year alone. Meet Maddie. Maddie was in a tough situation as she wasn't sure who the father was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered she had twins and found the strength she needed to choose life. Your tax-deductible donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound. How many babies can you save? Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Chris Woodward and Ray Pritchard. Hey, we are going to the Holy Land in March, and that's March of 2026, be our 25 and 30, about 27 or 28th trip to Israel, and we are excited about it. The dates are, we've got the dates, we got the price, we got the itinerary, we got the pictures, we got everything available at our website. So if that's something you've wanted to do, go to the Holy Land, and you want to go on our tour, then check it out. That's March in 2026, like in 10 months from now, 10 months or so from now. That's if you want to find out more information, go to wildmangroup.com, W-I-L-D-M-O-N group.com, W-I-L-D-M-O-N.group.com, wildmangroup.com. Also, we have information there on the trip that Wesley and Walker are leading, which is the Footsteps of Paul.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah. The Footsteps of Paul tour, which is mostly Greece, places mentioned in the Bible, Paul's journey.
Right, missionary journeys.
Yeah. So that's there. That information on that tour is available too. If you want to do both those tours, you can do that. We've arranged for people to do that. I'm talking about because they're back-to-back. So, again, the website for all the information is WILDMON group.com, and we are talking about our Holy Land trip in March of 2026.
WILDMON, Wildman Group.
.com.
All right. So that would be a two-week. Yeah. So if you want a two-week visit.
Yeah.
Focusing on the Bible, you could do Israel and the Footsteps of Paul back to back.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. So check it out at that website. Chris, what's your next story?
Well, I promised I would have some good news.
You promise?
Yes. This is me. Promises made, promises kept.
Okay.
I'm going to coin that phrase because nobody ever uses that. This is all the more reason why if you're a person of faith and you're told you can't do that, you should consider legal assistance. And I say that because an elementary school teacher in Utah will be able to have her prayer chain for herself and other teachers there at her school in Utah, thanks to help from attorney Keisha Russell at First Liberty. In this clip I'm about to call for, Keisha explains to AFN what happened. Clip 6.
Taryn Israelson wanted to post a sign in the lounge that just said, hey, if you want prayer, please text me and I'll add you to my prayer chain. And she was told by the principal she couldn't do that, so First Liberty wrote a letter on her behalf explaining the law to the district, basically that if they're going to allow other people to post things in that break room, that they cannot tell Taryn she can't post anything religious. And so the district said they were going to investigate, look into it, and ultimately they said that they are going to put a bulletin board in that break room and allow the employees to post any private messages on that bulletin board. So that is an acceptable response for us and for Taryn. And so we were able to settle it without litigation.
Now, I bring this in because oftentimes, too often, I would say, people get a letter or they're told by their employer, a person of faith is, you can't do this. It's not how we do things. You're not allowed, whatever. And they go, oh, okay. Or they think, well, I'm never going to be able to win. This is going to take too much time. I can't afford it. There are a number of law firms out there. First Liberty is one of many examples that will help people in this situation. And, you know, this is in Utah. It's not California or Illinois right. or Massachusetts. There's a lot of people of faith in Utah. And it just goes to show that even local governments will try to tell you things and they're not right, which is why you need to get an attorney.
And sometimes they're ignorant about what the law says. And Ray, I mean, as far as I know, the way the law reads is that if you have a bulletin board that's only school stuff, okay, nobody can post anything that's personal or outside of work. But if you allow people to post movie night, they got to be able to post something.
If you're going to say, come to my yoga class or here's yeah. the dog walking class, right? Or learn how to play the ukulele, fine. then along with the ukulele, we ought to be able to say, would you like somebody to pray for you and with you? That's perfectly legal. And I'll tell you what encourages me about this is that sometimes all it takes is a concerned person. A concerned citizen, a concerned parent, a student, somebody to speak out. Somebody spoke out, contacted First Liberty. They wrote one letter, mm-hmm. and one letter solved the problem, avoid the expense of a lawsuit. You know, I think if more people would just speak out, we would see more victories like this around the country. So this is, Chris, this is some good news from Utah.
Well, yes. and I'll say this too. That the early decisions in 1962 and 63 regarding school, prayer in school and the Bible in school, there were some Supreme Court cases before that. But this has been a long battle to get religious liberty restored in part in our public school system. And to your point, Ray, it is because Christians didn't just sit there and take it. And because of law firms, Christian law firms that will often take these cases for free, pro bono, and groups like ours that mention these stories on American Family News, or sometimes we'll put out action alerts through AFA Insider so that people start to call, they start to stand up for their rights. That is how we've started getting more clarity on the religious liberty front. You know, in August, we're going to have the Truth for Youth Bible campaign again. A lot of people didn't even know that a student giving a Bible to another student was legal mm-hmm. until people stood up for the constitutional rights they still have. And so that's part of why we exist, is to educate, equip, and activate Christians to get involved in their culture.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You guys think we're going to go to, we humans are going to go to Mars soon?
I wouldn't say soon, but at some point we will.
I think it's possible that we might land. I'm just going to be honest. I like science fiction. I'm just not sure that that's possible to pull off with the cost. It is so far to get there. And, you know, once people land there and start trying to set up a compound, there's no rescue like Elon Musk did with the folks, the two astronauts that were stranded in space. You're just there on Mars. I think it's.
All right. I'd like to raise thoughts here. The reason I brought this up, Elon Musk wrote in a post on his social media platform X in mid-March that a SpaceX Starship, that's his company,
will depart for the red planet, Mars, at the end of 2026, carrying Optimus, Tesla's humanoid robot. So humanoid robot's going up to go into, you go over to Mars, you go up to Mars.
Well, both. You go up and over.
Okay.
You got to get up. And then
are you going down to Mars? Is Mars down south?
Turn right.
In the solar system. I don't know.
Turn right.
Turn right. When you see the moon,
turn right. Hard right.
No, wait.
If you get to Jupiter, you've gone just a bit too far.
Have I got this right?
Yes.
Anyway.
Turn on Siri and just follow the Siri direction.
You go to Venus, you've gone too far.
That's right. Venus is the wrong. You've turned the wrong direction.
Turn left. Listen, right, I will say this.
Hold on. Let me finish this. Okay. So Musk predicted that if the missions go well, humans could start landing on Mars as soon as 2029, although 2031, he said, is more likely.
Okay, yeah, I think it, like I said, I think it's possible for humans to land on Mars.
Right.
But in terms of colonizing Mars, now I will say this. If they find a way to be able to extract water, if they find that there is still water on Mars and they find out a technological way to extract water, that is one of the huge obstacles to having human colonies on Mars is having
water. Well, there's only so much Dasani you can put on a
spaceship. You can't run out of water or oxygen.
Right.
By the way, Musk is he must be a Transformers fan because the name of their robot
Optimus.
Yeah. Optimus Prime.
Wait, Ray, what are you going to say?
I mean, it's a crazy idea. First of all, don't doubt that Elon Musk and his people are going to send the robot up there. Maybe people are going to go. But you know, Ed, that word colony. You know, that's like a word from science fiction. A colony on Mars. So, Ed, would you consider getting a timeshare on Mars?
No, you know? Absolutely not.
Never get first out.
Well, we can make you a deal today.
First of all, I don't even want to move to Minnesota.
Would by you the way, deport to Mars?
No. Right. And by the way, someone who's listening texted and he said, turn right at the Dollar General.
Yes. There you go.
And then you're on your way to Mars.
Yeah.
So listen, I you don't want me. I'm not the kind of person who thinks big like Elon Musk. I guess if there's anyone who can figure out a way to do it, he will. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's supplies of minerals there. But see, that's all those obstacles have to be conquered and overcome. If there are minerals on Mars, you have to figure out, you can't put them on a transport ship. And then you get them to the U.S. or you get them. What are you going to have bases on the moon?
Will Amazon deliver to Mars?
I mean, how do you make the minerals
two-day
pay off
delivery?
You're going to do that, and so maybe 100 years from now you can figure out technological ways to do that. But I won't be here.
It's very interesting,
dear Elon.
We're talking about space,
Ed. Ed Vitagliano says, no way, Jose.
Yeah, visionary Ed Vitagliano says.
You ain't doing squat.
Call me back in 100 years.
Right.
It's interesting that we started talking about space because that's where I was going next. This July 12th, as a matter of fact, the Ark Encounter in northern Kentucky will host three of America's astronaut heroes. One of them was
Katie Perry?
No. She's not going to be there. But Captain Barry Wilmore, who spent far more time stuck in space than Katy Perry ever did, he's going to be one of the astronauts there, as is Colonel Jeffrey Williams. He made many trips to space over his career. And then General Charlie Duke. He's one of the men that walked on the moon. There's only like four guys still with us that walked on the moon. And I've got some audio here from Ken Ham on American Family Radio talking about the Ark Encounter and this event that they're branding the Astronaut Encounter. Clip 9.
I met Barry many, many years ago, and I've spoken with him in Mexico, and he's been involved in Christian missions of getting Bibles to people in the Amazon and speaking in prisons around the world and speaking for Answers in Genesis, speaking here at our conferences. And then I also was able to meet Charlie Duke. Now, Charlie Duke He's only one of 12 men who walked on the moon. He was the youngest astronaut ever to walk on the moon. And he's only one of four still alive that walked on the moon. And he's a wonderful Christian man and does speaking. He became an on-fire Christian after the Apollo 16 mission. And then there was Colonel Jeff Williams, who I met, who's a retired astronaut, and he has more photographs in space than any other astronaut, and he's published them in a book, and he's a wonderful Christian involved in Christian ministry.
I do have to say that Ken is wanting people to register for this event, so do go online, just Google or whatever web search, Astronaut Encounter at the Ark, and you'll find that information.
So the guy who was stranded up in space, he's a strong Christian.
Yes.
All right.
And that was Ken Ham talking to The Stand Radio on AFR. You can find the podcast on AFR.net.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So just to wrap this up on the Mars thing.
Here we go, folks.
I'm fascinated by this because Elon Musk is one of those people, and they're extremely rare, where you go, at least I do, when he says something that sounds outlandish, I still pay attention to it because he's accomplished outlandish things in his career.
Yes.
Okay. So, and he's not one to, he deals in what he knows too. And so they do have a humanoid. The reason they call it I'm talking about his company, which is Starlink. Is that his company's called, anyway, whatever his rocket company is called, what's it called?
SpaceX,
yeah. Anyway, they've developed this robot that looks like it's got two arms, two legs, a head, and a torso. I mean, it looks like a human.
Yeah.
That's why they call it a human. So they developed this, and so they're,
that is cool.
Yeah. That's the robot they're going to send up in the ship going to Mars.
Yeah, and then what's going to happen is those robots that you just showed me the picture of, they're going to build a colony up there, and then in 25 years they will invade Earth.
They're not going to wait. They're not going to wait 25 years. Yeah. They're anyway, coming 10 years.
Hey, they're going to send this in the end of 2026.
Well, look,
we'll see if that happens or not.
I am not a visionary. I'm the guy who would have told Christopher Columbus, don't even bother. You're never going to find a trade route.
It's a waste of time, Chris.
Right.
Nobody's ever done it. Yeah. No one's going to do it. So I'm sure Elon's not going to listen to the likes of me.
Right.
But I have read, because I do write a little bit of science fiction, and I have studied a lot of this. That doesn't make me an expert. I'm just saying the obstacles to overcome are serious and profound. But to your point, Tim, if anyone's going to pull it off, it's going to be Elon Musk. So I just say go for it.
The journey of a million miles starts
with just one robot.
You got to keep that in mind.
With just one self-aware, sentient robot. As long as they don't bring back any... I'm not even going to get
what
started.
Bring back what? What?
Like if they find some eggs somewhere, I'm just going
leave the eggs.
Leave the eggs.
I saw that movie once with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
And that was a human. That was a humanoid robot.
Yes,
that she hated.
That is
by the
exactly
way.
Right.
They're going Jurassic Park on me there.
No,
you're going
Alien.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Alien.
Yeah.
Movie.
Alien. Okay.
I can sympathize and relate to you not being a visionary because many years ago when PapaJohns.com started telling people, hey, get online and order your pizza. I was like, that is the dumbest thing in the world. If you're holding your phone in your hand, just call the pizza guy.
Yes.
And now we order ahead on the app so that way we don't have to, it's just all kinds of things. I was clearly not in that boat.
Yeah. Yeah. The forward thinkers and
they're rare. They're rare for a reason.
Yeah. All right, next story, Chris. Well,
I did look it up a minute ago, if anybody's curious. Mars is only 137.72 million miles away from Earth.
Okay, so.
Just a short trip.
A million miles was just a simple metaphor.
And nowhere to pull over.
That's right.
If you want to stretch your legs.
So turn right at the Dollar General. Don't turn left, or you will make a big mistake.
Well, and you know, one of the things we saw, Chris, look up how long it would take to get for humans to get to Mars. Okay, but here's
I don't think humans is going. Humans aren't going.
Well, that absolutely is what? Elon Musk's idea.
Yeah.
Is ultimately to get humans to Mars and to establish a colony. But the point I want to make before you give the answer to that question, Chris, is that the 9 months that those two astronauts were stuck in space, they talked about how not having that gravity here on Earth can be bad for your bones. I mean, there are biological issues that develop on a long journey for humans to Mars. Okay. So what would you find out?
All right, so I do a web search. How long would it take for humans to get to Mars? And artificial intelligence is telling me that a one-way trip to Mars could take astronauts anywhere from 7 to 10 months, depending on the trajectory and propulsion methods used. A round trip, including time on the Martian surface and the return journey to Earth, could take between 2 and 3 years.
Okay, that's quicker than I thought.
I thought so, too.
I'll be honest.
I've always envisioned, like, it's up there for, like, 2 years, and you hop out of the spaceship, and you've got, like, a big beard. You know?
All right, so.
Nobody's signing up for that.
No.
Somebody will.
If they get the – I think what Elon Musk is thinking is that you get robots. You could have robots.
Robots, yes.
Set up living quarters and, you know – water, you know, something to maybe extract water, those kinds of things.
How in the world would you control robots
before people get there?
From Earth on Mars.
Well, you have to program them to do certain tasks.
I can do that. I can do the programming to do certain tasks. It's just their attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you can. That make work. Even robots don't
listen to you.
40 and 50 years ago, it was not uncommon where you saw something advertised on television with so-called space age technology.
Yeah.
Like now we're going to see Mars age technology and whatnot.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see whether it happens. I mean, the 2026 is a year and a half from now. He's saying that they're going to launch a robot to Mars.
Well, and it looked like from the picture you had,
that
those robots are already created.
Yeah. That's right. You can look it up.
Where was this article?
Found it on Fox.
All right. Well, maybe we can post that so folks can take a look at the
meanwhile, back here on Earth, Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, has decided not to run for Senate, which is a big blow to the Republican
Party.
I'll post
the link for you.
And let me tell you here, this Mars thing, you get Brian Kemp on Mars.
Well, that's what he said. He said, "Instead of running for Senate, I would rather go to Mars."
Hey, no joke. Quote. This may be something that Brian and Stacey might agree on because she's a big Star Trek fan.
Stacey
Abrams. Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary to make fun of her.
No. I'm saying she might be into, you know.
Oh, you said she was a big.
She's a big Star
Trek fan. Whoa.
Never mind. I misunderstood.
She's a Trekkie is what I'm trying to
say. Oh, okay.
Trekkie, okay, which is a Star Trek fan.
Yes.
Were you aware of that situation over in Georgia, Ray?
Yeah, I was reading about it. So Brian Kemp was going to win, right?
He's two-time governor.
Mm-hmm. Right, and very popular. And he and Trump, you know, they had a falling out, then they patched it back up, and I think Trump wanted him to run. So some people say he's not going to run for the Senate because he wants to make a run for the White House in 28. Who knows?
Oh, right? Is that what
that's what people are saying. Okay.
Well, that's
first man since Carter from Georgia if he were to win.
So who's the best candidate if he's not going to?
Okay, so Georgia is has always been a conservative state. And statewide, Republicans have always done well since the 70s. Mm. So, well, maybe 80s, since Reagan. But now, the Democrat Party has won two statewide elections for the Senate, you know, seats. They narrowly beat the Republican candidates, but they still did do that. But I think it's Republicans for the taking if they have a halfway decent candidate. And Brian Kemp certainly was more than halfway decent. He was a twice elected governor and a popular governor of the state of Georgia, and he probably would have been favored to win that Senate seat against what's the fellow's name here? The
John Democrat? Ossoff.
Yeah, who's the Democrat over there. So I don't know. You're right to your point. I don't know enough about yet about – I'll find out and ask some friends about who in Georgia would be next up for Senate.
Well, the name that was kicked around in one story I read was Marjorie Taylor Greene. But she does not poll well against
statewide
against
John Ossoff.
She's
a congresswoman from a certain part of Georgia.
Right. But now, Brian, but Kemp did poll well against Ossoff, and but Marjorie Taylor Greene did not. So I'm not sure what Republican
would
have
a good chance. That's an important state. Every state's important. But that's an important race because that's one of those where you go, if the Republicans don't get the Senate seat back,
right,
you're like going, that's an upset, because that is basically a red state, despite the fact that Atlanta has taken in so many people from around the country and internationally that it's kind of it's made Georgia a purple state in statewide elections.
Right.
So, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, there's the music, and Chris, thank you for your contributions.
Thank you.
Ed, Ray, and yours truly, we'll be back with Steve Paisley Jordahl in just a few minutes here on Today's Issues for this Tuesday, May the 6th.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.